This is the draft day Browns fans were waiting for.
Sonny, I hope you're listening. You run this team. You're the general manager. You can fix it.
Can't touch this.
Jim Matt Molly continues live from the Everlight Solar Studio. Jim Rutledge, Molly Brown, Matt Hamilton with you. Primetime Laura Shine behind the glass. We are presented by Coors Light. And I'm going to cede the first question to Aaron Goldhammer to Primetime Laura Shine. Ryan's a little starstruck. But before we get to that, I want, so I guess I'm not ceding the first question. Can you give everyone your brief history?
Because Hold on.
Yeah. You are an ESPN Madison
alum. First question to somebody else.
Yeah, no.
And,
yeah, but I'm not.
And now I'm not.
I changed my mind.
First question to somebody else.
Yeah, no, I changed my mind. I'm losing control of the ship here. I wanted to first set up the fact, though, that you are a, technically it wasn't ESPN Madison, but you are a WTLX alum. So there might be a few people out there that remember your voices when you were originating from Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. Obviously, we've heard you on ESPN National and heard you and seen you draft day in other places.
Well, Jim, I'd like to say hi to Davey and Poinette, who I think was the first person who called shows that I hosted on ESPN Madison or 100.5 FM back in the day. I have so many fond memories in southern Wisconsin and called many random baseball games in Oconomowoc and Madison Mallards baseball for a summer, but only three innings of the game, the other six innings, I was in a sunroom down the left field line, so it was a great year and a half really helped shape my career. And then I came to Cleveland, and I've been stuck here ever since. What does that say?
Well, Ryan, you seem to be a little bit excited, a little bit starstruck that Aaron is joining the show. He's like, he's on draft day. So, do you have a question for Aaron about?
I mean, he's the voice of draft day, Jim. What are you talking about?
It's very true.
On this team, you're the general manager. You can fix.
Aaron, what did it feel like having Kevin Costner hang up on you, or not hang up on you? Turn the radio dial off when you were speaking.
It's really dangerous to have the highlight of your career happen when you're like 29, because it's hard to go up from there. But so the story of that movie was I got a call with an L.A. extension. I thought it was some friend of mine who lives in Los Angeles, but it ended up being a producer from like Lionsgate. And they said, you know, we hired actors to try to play this part, but we don't really like the job they're doing. Would you and your partner, Tony Rizzo, like a crack at this? And they said, point us in the right direction for your agent and we'll negotiate the contract. And I said, sure, you know, we'd love to do this. I didn't want to sound too excited.
Yeah.
But I gave them the name of our general manager in Cleveland at the time, Keith. And I ran in and I said, you're our agent. Negotiate us a good deal. And so ultimately they came back a second time and filmed. We never met Costner, but Ivan Reitman, who is a legend of the movie industry, directed that film and worked with us. I mean, really, we had 5 or 6 hours of set time where he would talk us through the lines that he wanted us to read. And ultimately, it's funny, we were on script for a few of the first hours. And then finally, he just said, all right, you guys know the plot of this movie. Let it fly how you guys normally would. And those are the little sequences that they ended up using in the movie. I was sure that we were going to end up on the cutting room floor. And they ended up calling us back and saying, not only are you in the movie, but your voices start the trailer for the movie. So I'm waiting for draft day two, but the phone is yet to ring.
First of all, I just want to point out, I also know what it's like to peak way too early in your career. I got my gold medal in curling in 2018, and I mean, I'm still playing, so I'm hoping to get another, but I'm old now, so who knows.
Listen to Matt just bragging. Just in case anybody listening didn't know, Matt Hamilton had a gold medal.
Right.
He has a gold medal, like one of those Olympic gold medals. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I had it 2 days ago in the studio.
Yes. Yes. He's still bringing it around here. Yes.
Yeah. Just in case. Hey, has everyone seen this in here? Oh, yeah. Everyone. Okay. I'll just put this back. This gold medal of mine. But it does. We asked a fun question today based on the Jordan Love and how good he has to be to lead this Packers team to a Super Bowl. And the question is, what version of Joe Flacco does Jordan Love need to be or to play at for the Packers to make the Super Bowl this season? Current Joe Flacco or peak Joe Flacco.
Well, I mean, peak Joe Flacco, obviously they could make and win the Super Bowl. Peak Joe Flacco is a Super Bowl MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Current Joe Flacco is a little washed. I mean, I saw him try to run a little bit last Sunday against the Ravens. It did not look good. It did not. As someone who's not very coordinated, it looked more familiar to that than a normal professional athlete. But Joe Flacco still has a rocket arm, you guys. And if he had a better offense to work in and better weapons around him, I think he could be a semi-competent NFL backup that could get you through a few games and win some. But if you start the season with him as your quarterback, like, I kind of don't care what is around him, you're probably winning like 7 games. So if you flip the 2 quarterbacks in this game, I think the Packers would be like a mid NFC North team with Joe Flacco as their quarterback. They wouldn't be bad, but I don't think they'd be a playoff team. And I don't think the Browns would be a playoff team with just Jordan Love either, because they have a lot of issues and dysfunction that go well beyond the quarterback. We're having trouble getting a punt off and making a short field goal in Cleveland right now. So I don't know that Jordan Love would really change our fortunes much either.
Okay, so you mentioned even in the perfect situation, Joe Flacco is a 7, maybe 8 win quarterback. Obviously, that's not good enough to win the playoffs. What quarterback in that enormous quarterback staple in Cleveland would you think has the best chance to get this team, these Cleveland Browns, to the playoffs?
I mean, Julian Sayin at Ohio State, does he count? The Browns, ultimately, you know, everybody made such a big deal, Matt, about this quarterback competition in training camp,
mm-hmm.
as if it was a real competition and as if Shedeur Sanders had a real chance to win it, which he never did. The Browns know that their quarterback of the future is not currently on the roster. That's why they traded the rights to draft Travis Hunter to the Jaguars and picked up another number one pick in 2026. Because they're convinced that their quarterback of the future is currently in college and is in the 2026 draft. That what they did drafting 2 quarterbacks, that is harder to explain. I think Dylan Gabriel is the Browns' backup quarterback of the future. So the Browns might not have a QB of the future as a starter, but they do have their future backup in Gabriel. And you have to remember that the Browns have to think about stuff like that because they have Deshaun Watson's $81 million cap hit on their books for next season. So that they haven't even incurred the pain of that. So I'm not sure they've even gotten through the worst of the worst trade in NFL history yet. So all of that shapes the whole thing when it comes to their roster. But I don't think Shedeur, Gabriel, you know, Flacco, all these guys are going to play at some point this year. But I'd be stunned if any of them are good enough to really earn that starting job in 2026 and beyond.
I'm glad that you brought up just the entire debacle that there is of the Browns quarterback room.
You're glad that I brought that up?
Yes. No, I am, because my family and I, we actually played a fun little game before the season started where we were like, when is Shedeur going to start a game? When is Dylan Gabriel going to start a game? Is Joe Flacco going to be the starter? Like, we just kind of all like placed our bets individually on what was going to happen for the Browns this year. And I just wonder, like, do you think that we're going to see either Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders this season? I think we just talked about in our last segment, like, the Packers could bully up on the Browns so much this weekend that Dylan Gabriel ends up playing, potentially. At least that's our perspective from an outsider. Well, what do you think?
You know, Molly, I don't think that Gabriel is that far from the field right now. I don't think the leash on Flacco is that long because he keeps turning the ball over. Mm. The Browns, you know, led the league in giveaways in 23 and 24, and they're right on track to do it for 3 consecutive years, which is a real dynasty, if you ask me, in the NFL. And so if Flacco comes out and throws a couple picks, I mean, I don't even think the score has to be that lopsided on Sunday for Dylan Gabriel to get in the game. Obviously, he played against Baltimore last week at the end of a blowout. So I think if it's a blowout, you're going to see Dylan Gabriel. But I think there's a chance that you would see him in a 16-3 game on Sunday. I would say this. I'm so sure that the Packers are going to win this week that it scares me, because I know in the NFL the last few years when someone is declared the best team in the league, they always go out and lose that week. So That's the only thing that would lead me to believe that the Browns have a chance on Sunday.
I'm worried for Joe Flacco's health. I remember the Browns sacked Justin Fields 9 times in his first NFL start. It doesn't sound like Joe Flacco can move. We saw Micah Parsons, you know, track down Jared Goff like a lion tracking down a gazelle at Lambeau Field. Will Joe Flacco be sacked more than 9 times, or I guess combined Browns quarterbacks be sacked more than 9 times, the number they got against Justin Fields?
I mean, I wish I could play along with this joke, Jim, but I am also worried about Joe Flacco's health. I mean, I think he's making $4 million this year, and it's going to be to take a bunch of hits. Now, I will tell you, he's one of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen at throwing the ball away. So it may be that he takes a bunch of hits and gets the ball out, but not just sort of in the vague direction of a receiver.
Okay.
The Browns have a left tackle nightmare. I mean, nobody in Madison cares about this, but the Browns have a nightmare going on right now at left tackle. Their starting left tackle left the game apparently against Baltimore either because it was too hot or he was benched because it was a coach's decision. Or somewhere in between those things. This is literally what we've been talking about all week. So there's a guy who just got to the team like 3 weeks ago named KT something. I don't even know his last name, who might be playing left tackle in this game. Or it'll be DeJuan Jones, who like 78 degrees was too hot for him to stay on the field. So yeah, if I was Micah, I would show up with a bib on Sunday at Huntington Bank Field.
As we dance around the quarterbacks, Cleveland shares a something with the Bears where we just haven't had a quarterback. And obviously, Bear fans incredibly jealous of the Packers for the quarterback success. What's the thought in Cleveland about Green Bay? And obviously, you were up here in the area for a year and a half of just the relentless success that Green Bay has had. And it's what? The Browns, the Bears, and the Jets have just been an abject joke trying to find a quarterback. How do the Browns view Green Bay and their quarterback luck or quarterback breeding system? However you want to do it.
Packer fans, we probably here would see Packer fans taking for granted what they've had. And I think you do, you know, like
they do. Yeah.
This has been now generations of epically great quarterback play. And what's funny is like, as if Favre wasn't good enough, then Rodgers came along and was epically great. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know, Jordan Love looks like he may be better than both of those guys by the time it's all said and done.
Whoa!
So, I mean, look, if he wins a Super Bowl this year, he's the same age that Favre and Rodgers won their Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Except for, I don't know that he's going to have all this off-the-field nonsense derail him the way that Favre and Rodgers did. There's no evidence of that.
Right.
Plus, you know, I think he's got a really great team around him. So I don't know what – he stepped up and played well in the playoffs. You guys know this. Aaron Rodgers' biggest problem is that he did not play his games, his best games in the most important games. So, I mean, I would say extreme jealousy is what most Browns fans feel.
I also just
want to remind – Packer fans not to take the situation that they're in for granted and to enjoy every Sunday and not be like, this game's going to be boring against the Browns because they stink. No. Have your friends over, grill up some brats, have some beer. I know people in Wisconsin like beer generally.
We love our Coors Light here on Jim, Matt, and Molly presented by Coors Light. Yeah.
Wearing a Coors hat. Yeah. Oh, listen to that beer pour into that glass. I'm going to need about 12 of those during the game on Sunday.
That's actually crazy that you have that much optimism with Jordan Love. I hope you're right. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you're right. But I hope you're right because our narrative here, and me and Matt have the exact same opinion on it, is this is our last year that we're giving Jordan Love to show us who he is, because in the last 2 years he's just been consistently inconsistent. So it's nice just to hear some optimism.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's been – I mean, the team has won a lot. I don't know that I would think that he's like as good as Josh Allen and Lamar, but I think he's as good as Jalen Hurts. And I think he's good enough to win a Super Bowl with. And frankly, to me, that's the only thing that matters. And I think if you get two in Green Bay, you're better than Favre and Rodgers. Right?
That's fair.
If you get one without the baggage, you're going to be the most beloved. But Aaron, right there kind of proves your point, that because the fact that Jordan Love is a quarterback that you can win a Super Bowl with is not good enough for most Packer fans. They need him to be elite and win Super Bowls because they're used to Favre and Rodgers being at the top of the league. That they're like, well, if Jordan Love's like the eighth best quarterback in the league, well, do we even have a quarterback? So again, it's funny. They personified what you were talking about, taking for granted quarterback play, because Jordan Love is a top 10, top 11 QB.
I mean, listen, you guys, the teams you're rooting for now, you know, have Jordan Love. The Brewers have what, the best record in all of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Giannis is with the Bucks. You know, Badger football is a total mess. So I guess the only place I can really make fun of you. Right?
Yes, a total mess might be generous. So yeah.
Aaron, you have Ohio State. See, like, you can't complain in that aspect. You have Ohio State, we have Wisconsin Badgers.
I'm not an Ohio State fan, but Saturday is the day to watch football if you're in Ohio. With the Bengals and Burrow hurt and the Browns, I don't know that you want to be paying attention much on Sunday.
Yeah, who's got a better quarterback situation, the Bengals or the Browns right now?
Probably the Bengals.
Yeah, Jake Browning.
Did you realize they're going to pull this sound and play it on our show in Cleveland, and I'm going to be pitted again as the biggest villain in the history of Cleveland sports just because I'm being honest, being on with you guys. By the way, do I have, for everybody watching on YouTube, do I have the worst background in the history of your guests?
We were going to ask you right to blink a few times to make sure that you were not being held hostage. So, yeah.
At least it's on a white wall.
You know, I got home like a few minutes ago, and I didn't really think, like, when I was asked to be on camera, oh, maybe I should have an interesting background. This background is awful. It's just, for people that are listening on the radio, it's a gray wall and half a door that you're looking at behind.
Now, we're going to pull it up on ESPN Madison YouTube stream. The only background that could be worse, shout out to Ryan for getting this ready, is Jordan Love was on the Rich Eisen show, which is on ESPN Madison weekdays 12 to 2. We don't know where Jordan Love was in the Packers facility. We assume it was in the Packers facility for this video. Aaron, I don't know if you can see it yet, or I think Ryan's getting it ready. It is a all-white background. It looks like he's in a padded room in an insane asylum, if you are listening on the radio. So there you go. There is the... I hope Jordan's okay. I don't know what room he was in that is all white, but yeah. It is. It was an interesting look for where Jordan Love was doing his interview. But we did ask this other question here of the state of Ohio has to have for professional teams the most quarterbacks per capita, because I feel like the Browns have added four quarterbacks and the Bengals have just added three in the last few weeks.
I mean, the Browns have played like 164 quarterbacks in the last 9 years.
Yeah.
It's like it's so many. That I think they have like an annual meetup where they all get together and complain
like a family
about
reunion,
how bad their offensive coordinator was. And like it's a nice weekend, in Sandusky, where Cedar Point is.
Yeah,
you know, Brian Hoyer's there. Like sometimes they get Manziel to go. Sometimes they invite him, but he doesn't show up. You know, it's a good. And Baker's too busy. Like actually got like real endorsements and a real life and a real team. So he never's there.
So that's actually,
Well,
that was my last question. So I've been making this comp here for, obviously there is personality quirks with Baker, but as a football player, where Baker is right now, kind of feels like where I think Jordan Love can kind of get to, where he's a gamer. Baker makes, he's a not a high completion percentage guy. Normally last year was super high, but he's accumulating yards. He can get the ball to the playmakers, and he's a guy that you can win with. And so Jordan Love statistically kind of throughout his career matches Baker at his peak, but without the personality quirks. Like he's much more of an even-keeled leader. Do you see some of like what do you think of Baker as a quarterback in general, and then the Jordan Love and Baker comp there?
I don't think Baker is good enough to win a Super Bowl with,
okay.
Which is why I think the Browns moved on from him. I think he's in a weak division. I think that he's, grown up tremendously and has played great. So I don't want to sound like I'm tearing him down. My feeling on it here, though, was that it's dangerous to pay a guy like that a ton of money because it's the Dak Prescott situation, mm-hmm. right? I mean, it's, you know, you got a nice quarterback, but if you pay him too much money, then you can't put a team around him. And I think that's where the Browns were headed. Baker has been great. You know, I think he's good enough to win like one playoff game and get you to divisional weekend. And I'd be really surprised if he ever held up the trophy. I could see Jordan Love holding up the trophy. Baker Mayfield, you know, is still small enough that it would be hard to see him holding up the trophy because all the offensive linemen standing around him would make it hard to see him. And so, I mean, he's always led the league in moxie, Jim. There's no question about that. But I, frankly, I'd rather have, much rather have Jordan Love as my QB. Baker to me is like the 13th best quarterback in football. And I don't know, you know, everyone's making a big deal about this because he just won a game on national TV. He's had two great game-winning drives. He leads the league in turnover-worthy plays. And so just if you're picking like Tampa and your survivor against the Jets this weekend, I know that looks like a juicy one. Just little bit of caution there.
So there's no regrets in Cleveland about moving on from Baker. Is what I just heard.
People regret it all over the place. What do you mean? I mean, Matt, it's not. Are you asking me? Or are you asking stereotypical Browns fans?
Okay, Matt.
The issue isn't that the Browns moved on from Baker. The issue is that they then made the worst trade in sports history to try to replace him. Mm-hmm. If they'd have replaced him with a better answer, then they might not regret it at all. But one of the reasons why people can't move on from Baker here is because they've had this trash line of quarterbacks led by Deshaun Watson trying to play the position ever since. So, but there are a lot of, you know, I work with Chris Oldak every day, another ESPN Madison alum. And Chris is still a Baker bro. I mean, Chris is still convinced that if the Browns had kept Baker, that they'd be in the Super Bowl right now or something. So there's all kinds of regret amongst the Browns fan base about that decision. I just don't think the biggest mistake was moving on from Mayfield. I think the biggest mistake was, you know, the three number ones and the 200 and however many million for Deshaun Watson.
All right. Yep. Before that, you go and something kind of fun. It's obviously you got to laugh at it. Your favorite Browns quarterback in your time in Cleveland. Like, which one of you just enjoyed? Not the best, just the one you enjoyed the most.
I mean, Manziel was great for talk radio, right?
I mean,
and so I want the ones that are the best for my career.
Yeah.
And Manziel and Mayfield are the two that have been the best for my career. Every one of their press conferences was must listen. People had the most hope in them. They were the most polarizing. They drove the most action. They had the most buzz. Like, you know, say what you want, but there were seasons with, you know, Colt McCoy playing QB. Like, there's not a lot of excitement there. No, Baker and Johnny were the two that drove the most callers on and advertising partners, money, cash. Jim knows about cash.
Yes. Yeah.
So I will say Manziel and Mayfield tied for the number one spot.
And I think Aaron should be, or at least he can represent a story there for Packer fans. The biggest takeaway from this, be grateful for Jordan Love. Obviously, you were for Aaron Rodgers and for Brett Favre because,
Spoiled brats.
That was a good one.
All right, Aaron.
Oh, my gosh.
Hit him with the Kawhi. Awesome.
It was terrible. On that, I'm going to say goodbye. Right, thanks, guys.
Aaron. Thank you.
That was Aaron Goldhammer. Are we going to give away some beer now or later?
We're going to give away some High Life right now.
All right. What caller should we do here?
Joe Flacco wears number 15 for the Cleveland Browns, guys. Let's go caller number 15.
Nice.
Caller number 15, 844-770-3776. Caller number 15, 844-770-3776. Caller number 15 wins a case of High Life.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly.
For a man's curly chest hair, taco meat. Sure
oh
is.
God, I told you. Jim's is like salt and pepper color.
Yeah.
It's saltier than it is peppery.
Yes, the part that shows is more salt and pepper. But in general, it's salt and pepper in general.
Presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and ESPN Madison on YouTube.